The following podcast is taken from my video blog, which you can find under the same name and the Recruitment Podcast channel on YouTube. Hi, welcome to today's podcast. If you're watching on video or listening to it on Spotify, then I hope you can enjoy me talking about when is the right time to set up your recruitment business. You may be surprised to hear that of the people I speak to about setting up a recruitment business, about 90% don't actually go ahead with it, at least in the first 12 months. And quite often never. And I think the vast majority of the reason is it's a romantic idea, setting your own recruitment company. It's not me putting them off, that's for sure. Although I don't sell the idea of setting your own recruitment company because it's a life choice. It wouldn't be morally right for me to try and persuade you to set your own recruitment company. Plus, I only back a very small number of recruiters, so it's not like I need extra people. But no, there's a vast majority don't go through with it. And that's why it got me thinking about, okay, when is the right time to set up your recruitment company? Because some of the people I speak to don't think it's the right time, now or never. And the right time to set up your recruitment company comes back to two things. There's your disposition, there's you and where you are in your life, but there's also the cash, and the cash is king. As I always say, placements are vanity, invoice is sanity, cash is king. So when you set up your first recruitment company, I'm probably the only one, if you're good at it. It's all about getting through the first year. It's the cash of getting through the first year that counts. Once you get past the first year, you should then have a good foundation to grow your business. Okay, so what gets you through the first year? Okay, this is where it comes down to when is the right time. So first of all, you need to have sufficient experience. I get a lot of people that contact me within 12 months of being a recruiter. And I politely say, look, you know, in the first 12 months, you might think you've got it. But honestly, it takes a lot longer to really get to grips with being a good recruiter. You give yourself a much better opportunity if you've got a better understanding of your market. You know more candidates, you know more clients. Because what you can't afford to do when you set up your recruitment company is fail. I don't do failure. Now, I've never had businesses fail. I don't do failure. And emotionally and financially for you, failure, you can't set up to fail. You've got to get it right. So it's got to be the right time. So this is where you've got to ensure you get past the first 12 months. So, okay, I'd say a minimum of 2 years experience, probably more. But then also you've got to be a high billing recruiter, or at least a decent billing recruiter. So a minimum of 150 if you're on perm, $250,000 if you're on contract. The reason why it's more on contract is as a recruiter, you probably won't see the costs that come from factoring because you have to factor your contractors to pay them. And there's a cost involved with that, and that takes out a fair chunk of the profit. So for the $250,000, that's the actual what you can net from that is lower. So that's the level you need to be at. But this is where I have the conversation with the people who are looking to set up to ask them to understand where their money comes from. Where in your environment now where you work, do you actually benefit from being there? What I mean by that is your income transferable? Do you rely on the company brand? Do you rely on being on PSLs? Do you rely on the database? You know, are there things within that environment you won't have when you're on your own? So what I suggest is that you look back at the previous 6-12 months, list all your placements next to candidates, where you got them from, vacancies, where you got them from. A lot of people go, oh, no, I got all my vacancies from LinkedIn, they're all my own, blah, blah, blah. And I say, look, no, honestly, do it. You might be surprised. Do it. It also helps you with your business plan. If you want to work with me, it helps me understand where you get your money from so I can make you, or help you rather, make more money from where you get it from now and see where you're not and maybe help you with that as well. So you've got to understand where you get your money from. Then you've got to be able to do a sales forecast. And doing a sales forecast is based on looking at where your money's coming from and how quickly you're going to ramp up. So you do a sales forecast based on when you're going to place. Then you've got to bear in mind when those people will start and then where the cash will land. And I go through that in my blogs about cash management and how to set up a recruitment business. It explains in those how to do a cash flow forecast, because you need to know the amount of cash you need for you to be able to survive that first 12 months, and more importantly, the first, I don't know, 6 months, 3 months, until you start making cash. Because if you don't place for the first 3 months, the person doesn't start for another month, they don't pay for another month, that's 5 months money. Have you got the cash? Okay, so that's a big thing for when is the right time to set up. Have you got the cash, either from an investor, from your savings, wherever it might be, you need the cash, so that's the right time. Okay. The other thing that you've got to bear in mind about being the right time is are you mature enough to be able to work from home? Are you mature enough to be able to work without responsibility? Are you mature enough to be a business owner? And the reason why I say that is I have seen recruiters not working with me, I hasten to add. They've gone off, and but they've been billing, I don't know, 150 grand, whatever it might be. They've been off, set up their sole trade, and all they're interested in is taking more of the money. They want to take, you know, rather than the 30%, which generally you get if your employees hit 30% of your billings, they want the rest of it. And they're going out, and they take the cash, and then they go into Bender, and then they go back, and then and they start recruiting again to make more money. And it's really just a lifestyle thing where they want to be able to do what they want, have more cash, and then, you know, spend it and be playboys, playgirls, or whatever the term is nowadays. That's the wrong thing to do because it's a recipe for disaster. It really is. At some point, you won't be able to get back and generate those billings. A VAT bill will come up, a tax bill will come up. You know, it's just not the right time. But also your consideration of when is the right time to set up is what you ultimately want to achieve. You know, what do you want to achieve in your recruitment business? Is it you want a lifestyle business? So you want to work on your own from home, generate enough cash that you can have a nice, healthy living. Okay. I don't necessarily advocate that. It can work for some people, but the amount of people I've seen that have done it, and after the first year, 2 years, 3 years, they start to get a little bit too content, maybe a bit lonely, a bit lazy, lack of motivation, you know, it becomes a bit samey, and they can't get the, you know, the inspiration to do it anymore because it's not getting you anywhere. The idea of a lifestyle business, it means that the golf gets more and, you know, playing with the kids gets more and, you know, you don't start till later, Sky Sports gets you, wherever it might be. So, you know, that for me personally, I don't think it's a good idea. Some people do it very successfully, but, you know, it's your disposition. My recommendation is for you to last as a recruiter is to at least employ some staff. I'm not saying you have to build a huge business, but employ some staff because that gives you the peer pressure to perform. It keeps it interesting. And also it gives that revenue that if something happens, say you fall ill, whatever it might be. So, you know, it's important within hopefully the first 12 months, if not 2 years, to recruit somebody to keep you going. So coming back to your aspirations, if your aspirations rather is a boutique business, so 3 or 4 people, 5 people, then okay, that takes a little bit less experience. If you're looking to build something more significant, 20 or 30 people, that takes more experience. But in saying that, it depends if you're doing it on your own. So are you doing it on your own? Have you got a business partner with you? You know, i.e. a recruiter that you've worked with in the past or working with now, somebody who's got some experience, or are you going to work with somebody like me, a mentor, somebody who's going to help you on that journey so you don't necessarily need that experience? Because setting up on your own, it's a brand new job without an instruction manual. Okay, so you move into a new job and you've got no support base and you've got to learn all the skills of growing and running and managing a business, but you've got nobody to show you how to do it. That's a hell of a risk, okay? Building a recruiting business isn't rocket science. I'm not going to say it is. But there's a lot can go wrong, but there's a lot of distraction. And it's the distraction that can hamper your growth in the business because you've got VAT, you've got marketing, you've got IT, all the other things. So this is where I do heavily advocate is having somebody there that you can talk to help you with some of the basics that you've got to learn as a business owner. The accounts, how to deal with IT, how to deal with marketing is having somebody alongside you. It's also somebody to talk to run through your ideas. It can be a bit of company. You can sometimes need the motivation. And also, I think a big thing is the peer pressure. Because if you work with, say, for example, somebody like me, you know, I'm super ambitious on all the businesses to grow massively and, you know, turn into great wealth-generating businesses. I don't take control. The business people that I set up and work with, they're in control. If they want to keep it small, they keep it small. But I'm bound. I'm like a puppy. I'm always bound with enthusiasm to build it bigger. And that can really help if you've got somebody that's got that motivation to keep you going. Because if you're on your own, it's very easy to become too satisfied. And also, you may not know how good you can be and where you can go. But also, if you've got somebody with you who is experienced, they can help you get there quicker, easier, with less stress. So if you can find somebody you can work with that you feel is going to help you from that side, you trust and you've got the experience, that can bring in the when is the right time to set up a business. There's also other factors like is it a recession? How is your market? Also, have you come across a golden opportunity where you've got a client that has got loads of vacancies they want to give you? Okay, that's great, but you've got to bear in mind your restricted covenants because virtually all recruiters have restricted covenants which stop you from dealing with your current clients that you've been dealing with for the previous 12 months, for 6 months into going forward into your business. And generally, it's the same with candidates. It's 6 months going forward, but it's only 6 months going backwards. You've got to bear that in mind. You may have a friendly employer that isn't going to hold you to covenants, but it's something you've got to consider when you're setting up, is if you're going to keep those covenants, that could potentially hold you back. So there's various things to consider when you're looking to set up. Have you got support of your partner? So if you're married or you've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever it might be, it helps considerably if they're supportive of you, because there's going to be times that it might be stressful, you've got to work long hours, and if they're not really buying into it, it can hold you back, because you know you do need support of the person next to you. So you've got to bear that in mind as well. Also, I get a lot of recruiters bearing in mind, as I did when I set up, they want to buy a house. So if you set up business and for the first 12 months, you're not going to get a mortgage, or, well, I can't say for certain, I'm not a financial advisor, but you're certainly going to struggle, because you probably need to be trading for 2 years. A lot of people think it's 3 years, but not, it's two. So you've got to bear that in mind, is if you want to buy a house. There's ways you can maybe mitigate that, but that's something you do have to consider. You know, don't go stampeding into setting your own business, then go, oh shit, I can't buy a house now because I haven't got more than 12 months of cash. So that's something to consider as well. But the overriding thing for me is you've got to be able to demonstrate to yourself you've got the cash to get you through the first year. And that's not cash saved up. That's generate the cash and actually fund enough to get through the first year. Because ideally what you want is not just enough to get through the first year, it's enough to have some fat in it in case things don't go into plan. But preferably hire one, if not two people in the first 12 months, at least you've got the ball rolling. So the other thing I forgot to mention about when is the right time is getting your first 1, 2, 3 members of staff is usually the hardest. The safest possible option of hiring your first member of staff is somebody that you've worked with that you know is a guaranteed biller. So you're going to get on with them, you know they're good, and they know they're going to work out. So if you've got an opportunity, there's somebody that you know you worked with previously or you work with now that would like to come with you, either as a partner or as an employee, that could be the right time to strike, because you're going to get that critical mass immediately. Because if you can have that critical mass immediately, that helps flatten things out, because you can have a bad spell, but if there's two of you or three of you, then there's a much lower chance you'll all have a bad spell, so you'll be able to get through. Also, as I mentioned, it can be difficult on your own. So if you've got, you know, one person with you or two people with you, it can help massively in the enjoyment of the environment, the inspiration bouncing off things. It can make it a lot easier. So the timing can be based on you've got the opportunity to partner with a colleague, previous colleague, or there's somebody that you think would come with you. You can ask them, say, look, I'm going to set my own business. Want to start making cash in the first 3-6 months? Would you want to come with me? If they do, great. Then, you know, that could be the right opportunity. What I would say, going right back to the start of this podcast, the 90% of the people that don't go ahead with it, for some people, it's never the right time. It is, you want it, you dream of it, the idea of it is fantastic, but the fear factor holds you back. And it'll never be the right time. And I think you've got to look at yourself and go, okay, am I making excuses? It's not the right time. Or is it just not for me? Because it's not for everybody. I'm an evangelist for it because I've set up my own business, two businesses, and absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. I work with businesses now and I get my buzz vicariously through them. That's why I do what I do. And I can't set up my first business twice, but I get the buzz now from those businesses. And even better, I get the buzz because I can actually enjoy the moment. Because when I was in the moment myself, I was too busy doing my job to actually stop and enjoy the moment. So I didn't enjoy it as much as I could. A bit like a football that's going to go and play at Wembley. And the coach says, make sure you soak it up and enjoy it. First few years are so fast, I didn't have time to enjoy it. But the buzz I get now from the other people that I work with billing, that's why I do it. So yeah, setting up on your own, oh, it's amazing, absolutely amazing. However, for people that are risk averse, that people that are very, very concerned, struck, worried about putting, you know, the money in the bank to cover the mortgage for the family, it isn't for everybody. And you just got to accept that, you know. And I don't try and persuade people to do it because you've got to understand that. But I think the quicker you do, the better, because you don't want to spend time wondering and thinking about it. But conversely, it's a well-known fact, the biggest regrets people have in life are the things that you don't do. So, you know, you've got to bear that in mind that, okay, do you want to look back in 10, 15 years' time and go, yeah, I wish I really did it? You've got to bear that in mind. But I'm not going to try and persuade you to do it because it is a big life decision. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this video podcast, an audio podcast. If you watch on YouTube, hit the follow button, the like button. And I look forward to you listening to my next podcasts, my next blogs, which will be on recruitment in general, building businesses, anything I think can help personally develop recruiters out there.